Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted. Not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Questions, questions, questions. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've had a question or 10,000 about the tragic fall of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. Many of these questions, they are good meat, right, and salutary, and we should endeavor to answer them as best we can. On the other hand, I do believe there's some questions, personally, I don't think need to be asked or answered. These stories are dynamic. They ebb and flow. Details change, whether we want to hear them or not. And because Steve Lawson isn't just a local pastor, I feel it with you. I feel it with you. Believe me, I feel it with you. It affects you. It impacts you because you followed the guy. You watched his sermon. You went to Shepherd's Conference to, oh man, his sermon. Give us some men who know the truth. And because he was so widely known, we all have a sense of, hey, I kind of like an explanation of this. And I don't think anybody should shame anybody for having that feeling. I get that. But I think at this moment, details, I think just we need to be patient and we need to let a good local church deal with the situation, disclose it. And I think maybe as the gut punch perhaps abates a bit, we can ask some questions. We could even send a note to the church and ask these questions if we really feel that need. There are some questions we can, should ask and answer. Others that get into the details, what happened, how long did this happen? Even this question, which I think is super important. Believe me, I think this is so important. I think we'd all like to know, sup with Steve at this moment. What's his heart like? What is he repenting? We'd like to know those things, but I don't know the answer to those questions. And I think we're just going to have to let time be the determiner of how we get our questions answered, if we ever get them answered at all. I have to tell you, I thought the response of G3 was just quite good. Because G3 said, we're not a parachurch ministry, which I thought was super interesting. Because to walk along, it's alongside of the church. They said, we're a sub-church ministry. That's just an awesome attitude. We serve the local church. We're not on the same plane. Nobody's on the same plane as the local church. Nobody's ministry is at that level. It's the local church that is God's ordained institution, not parachurch ministries. And so G3 called itself, I thought wisely, a sub-church ministry. Then they said, we're just going to defer to Trinity and we're just going to be patient. And we can reassess in a bit. So let's dive into the questions that can produce fruit. This might be a rule of thumb. If you're talking about the Steve Lawson situation at home, around the coffee table, that if it doesn't produce some sort of fruit, then maybe it's just not a profitable conversation and it tiptoes into the realm of gossip or idle speculation. That might be a helpful rule. So let's see if we can produce some fruit by asking and answering the questions that you actually sent to idea@wretched.org, for which I'm very grateful. We're going to try to tackle this in the what I think is the order of importance. And I think the order of importance on this for us, not the elders of Trinity, for us is my heart. Okay, what I glean from this? And hey, wait a second. If he did that, what about me? And how do I make sure? I think those are the most important questions that we can ask. So we're going to. This was sent in from Dan. Dear Mr. Friel, Dan, hate to rebuke a man publicly. It's Mr. Friel to you. I'm wondering whether the clergy is populated with dirty old men. Ouch. I understand that. I understand that. And I'm going to try to answer the question as best I can without nuance, because I think this is important. Because when a man like Steve Lawson, we're not talking about a charlatan, a false teacher, a prosperity teacher. We're talking about Steve Lawson. What? This is like Thomas Watson falling. This is like a Calvin or a Luther. Wait, what? They had it? Hold on. What is? It's like, whoa. This is how did, whoo, does something like that happen? And we might be inclined to then impute what one did on everybody. And so I think that there are some details in answering this question, but I think clarity is important. If you deem me wrong, that's okay. Do I think that the church, the Protestant church, is populated with dirty old men? No. No, I don't. Do I think that they're out there? Yes. Yes, I do. And we don't like any of it. We don't like when it happens at all. I think social media contributes to the amount that you get to see. I'm not sure that we're seeing a spike, that we're experiencing a J-curve of pastors who are disqualifying themselves. I think we get to know about it. Should it become more where it's just a relentless barrage of one after the, yeah, then I think we don't have a metric for this, but I would say overall, no, there are 350,000 Protestant churches in America, 350,000. That means there's at least 350,000 pastors. That's a lot. And if you took the number of pastors that we know about who have fallen, who have done something sinful or wicked, look, it's not to minimize their wicked behavior. It's not to minimize when a man has been unfaithful to his wife. That's not what we want to do at all. But I think we do need to take a look statistically. It's not a monsoon that we're experiencing here. Don Green, I shared some of his insights earlier this week. He had five insights, and I shared four, but I didn't share number five because I didn't want it to sound like, yeah, forget about Steve. What about you, sinner? But I think we do well to make sure that we guard our own hearts so that they don't become a word that he used that I think is really helpful, becoming cynical. That we become one who then is a mocker. We don't want to do that. There was another article that was written by Warren Peel. I don't know Warren, but he was talking about when a Christian leader falls. And his fifth point, providentially enough, we should be aware of the particular temptations and sins that come with hearing of the fall of a Christian leader and pray for God's grace to resist them. And here's the first prayer that he offers, or the first guard that we should have up to make sure that we don't become a cynical. They're probably all doing that, and they're no better than Steve. You can't trust anyone in leadership. Guard your heart on that. I don't think that's happening. And when it's happening, we denounce it, we decry it, and we call it what it is. Whatever the sin happened to be, we call it what it is. Evil, wicked, sinful. We call it what it is. But let's not impute the sins of one onto the many and become cynical. Pride is another attitude that this Warren Peel warned us about. I've never done that, so I'm better than him. On the other hand, you've got complacency. Well, I'd never do that. Wait until you're safely in heaven before you start talking about things you would never do, writes Peel. Robert Murray McShane was one of the godliest men of his generation, but he said the seeds of all sins were in his heart. A little water in the right conditions, and who knows what poisonous fruit our hearts could bring forth. Make sure you have close friends who will keep you accountable. We're going to talk more about that. In fact, we're going to talk about that a lot because I think rightly so, we're all scared. Aren't you? I can offer some platitudes, perhaps you would call them. But wow, let's be honest here. He fell? Do I have a chance? We're going to dive into that more and more and more. Peel also encourages us to guard against self-righteousness. We can be like the Pharisees, exalting over the woman caught in the act of adultery because it can make us feel better. Want to be careful for that. He also writes this, we should guard our conversation against the temptation to gossip and empty speculation. We should avoid trying to read between the lines of what has been publicly stated. In the absence of more information, we have a duty to assume the best as far as possible because love hopes all things. So do I think that every pastor out there should be looked at with a Spock eyebrow? Don't do that to your local. If you have zero evidence to even think that, don't. Believe me, every pastor feels this. Wow, Steve actually eroded the trust of my congregation toward the elders. Woof. And if you don't have any reason to think that there's anything going on, then trust and believe the best so that we don't become cynical. More questions next on Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul expressed profound gratitude for their support. In just a few short weeks, we'll be launching the most ambitious initiative in our ministry's history, a groundbreaking platform designed to resource and equip local churches more effectively than ever before. To every gospel partner listening right now, your impact reaches far beyond what you might imagine. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're right here with us, advancing God's kingdom every single day. Stay tuned for the big reveal of our new platform and let us continue this incredible journey together. And if you want to be an even bigger part of this exciting mission, then let me point you to wretched.org/donate, where you can learn how to become a gospel partner right now. And together we'll be empowering churches and changing lives through the transformative power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today, wretched.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To answer your question, free. This is Wretched Radio. Some people have been writing in saying, hey, you and Jimmy have been talking a lot about these new podcasts, all these new additions to the ministry, and you're going to change your name? What's that going to cost us? The answer is nothing, honey. Zero. No subscription. Nothing but original content produced 5 days a week. It'll be on our new streaming app. It will be on our website, and it can be in your email box. If you subscribe or download the app, we will do nothing but, I was going to say bombard, and then I thought, well, that sounds like who wants to get bombarded? But I think bombard is the right word. We want to send you a ton of stuff. What you do with it is up to you. You could share it. You could watch it. You could delete it. It doesn't apply to you. We get that, especially Jimmy's news. The point is, we're going to send you.
I feel the same way.
We're going to send you a ton of stuff, and it's not going to cost you a thing. We're not trying to make any sort of statement about ministries that have subscription-based models. Every ministry makes these decisions for themselves. I'm just telling you, the decision we made is free. We want to give it away. Our gospel partners support us. And if we can just make stuff and give it away and give it away around the globe, well, that just warms our cold conservative hearts is what it does. So to answer your question, coming next Tuesday, October 1st, we are going to be rebranding, as they say on Madison Avenue. And that means we're going to have some new voices here, and you're going to get to hear them. There's going to be a ton of new podcasts. They are awesomely good. We're going to be doing hot takes. Hey, here's something that we're going to be doing. Jimmy, can I tell everybody about the little the webinar that we're going to do, I think, next week sometime. I don't want to get the date wrong.
Sure.
But Pastor Tim Challies, Pastor Adam Tyson, Pastor Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, and I, and Jason, who heads up the program, we're going to do a free, did I mention it doesn't cost a thing, a free webinar, where you're going to hear from different pastors on some of these different angles that we're talking about. We're going to be doing a lot of things like that, and I can't wait to share it with you next week, and it's going to cost you nothing. Let's get back to the questions that I believe are pertinent, that are worthy of our consideration, so that we might grow from a situation that just stinks. Doesn't that? Just stinks. I mean, honestly, if you had started a betting pool about, hey, which one of these guys do you think is going to disqualify himself? I don't even think you'd put Steve on the list. Like, well, that's just too ridiculous. But he did. And it stinks. And it hurts. And it challenges us. Because the Lord is doing something. I think it was Jesse Johnson. And Jesse was, I watched some of his presentations on the Steve Lawson fall. So pastoral. And just, you, sir, did you listen to Al Mohler's response? Al Mohler was talking like a shepherd. He kept talking about the dear ones that have been so wobbled by this. And I just thought it was extremely pastoral. And when Jesse was talking about it, he said, why does God, you can pick whatever theological term you choose, does he permit it, ordain it? Why? And I believe he cited four different reasons. It can be a purging of the church. It can cause others to just leave. That's not a bad thing. They leave because they should leave before they too are exposed. It could be for individual soul searching, checking my heart. So there's good fruit in this, to be certain. But it's still a bummer, isn't it? So let's see if we can produce some fruit from it. Encourage you to continue sending questions to idea@wretched.org. This came in from a number of people. I'll just share Daryl's. Are we placing too much trust, hope, or faith in our fellow human that leads to our eventual disappointment? Are we expecting too much of mere mortals? Another writes, this is from Sheila, I want to kick myself for placing this man on a pedestal. I really thought he was up there with others, R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur. Call me stupid, 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 sigh. I know not to do that, but I did it anyway. Yeah. There's a balance here. Paul, he told us that we should indeed esteem those who are in pastoral ministry. Furthermore, there are those that we can emulate, that we can look at as an example, in as much as they reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. So the temptation would be to never do that. And I think that would be a mistake because, well, first of all, we're encouraged to do that because we can learn. And because I think we can be encouraged. And because I think that we can see how it's done. So don't think that there's nobody out there that you can't look up to, especially in the context of your local church. And I would say starting with your pastor/elders. This type of sting can cause a reaction. And we don't want to lose the blessings that the Lord has for us in looking at the lives of others. We don't want to become cynical people in this. The Lord has provided different ways for us to grow and to be encouraged. And one of those ways is that we see those who are just further down the road of sanctification, and our elders and pastors should be. And you should be able to go to them and ask them questions and see how they do it. How do they interact with their wife? How do they, when they're in a group setting, how are they talking about their spouses? Watch those things. Learn those things. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater here because you won't grow as fast. And as far as putting these guys on pedestals, yeah, we got to be really, I think that's a corrective that we all need, don't we? Anybody that gains some level of notoriety, because TV and radio and speaking, just speaking in front, but speaking in front with amplification, with lights, with a crowd of people, there is something inside of the human heart that just automatically elevates them. Like as if somehow they're special. Well, here's our balance again. In one sense, they're not. In another sense, they are. Because they are godly guys. They're really gifted in preaching and teaching. And that's awesome, comma, Lord. That's where we need to be. We need to be inserting a comma. Whoa, that dude preaches amazing stuff, comma, Lord. Because we want to recognize that it is the Lord that gifts. It's the Lord that grows. It's the Lord that presents this. And I think that's probably what you and I need to do so that we don't put them into somehow this elevated status of celebrity Christian. There's just something about it. There just is. Okay, it's just in our heart. Okay, maybe it's just in my heart. There was a couple on HGTV and they weren't goofy. They weren't silly. And they weren't trying to be, you know, attractive, you know, sexy in any sort of way. Just a husband and wife. And they did really good stuff. And it was just kind of nice to see their marriage operating. Well, they live right down the street from us. And I watched the show a few times. I think it's been pulled. I don't think they're doing it anywhere. I don't know why, but nevertheless, and I think there were church-going folks. And I have to admit, when I drove by a building that had their, like the name of their thing, whatever their business is, or I recognized it. And I kind of looked to see, I wonder if I could get a glimpse of them. Now, what is that about? What is that? You see somebody on TV, you see them up in front of the crowd, and they somehow, it just is that's the person that seems to be more special. And we desire to, like, get a glimpse. And let's be careful. That's one of the reasons that sometimes we go to conferences. And I would suggest to you, we need to do an adjustment on that. I don't think we throw out conferences. I do think that you and I, we need to individually, to varying degrees, work on our own hearts. So if I'm attracted to go to a conference, it's not to see fill in the blank. It's to love Jesus more, to learn more about my Savior, because the Lord has provided these guys that do a really good job of helping me to grow in godliness and to warm my heart and to fill my brain with truth. That is why we should be going to conferences, not to see the famous evangelicals. We got to adjust that. If you do, do it. If I do, I will. Because we don't want to be elevating these people, because when a fall like this does happen, then it's even stinkier. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. We started in Indiana, where a federal judge has ordered a state prison to provide transgender surgery to an inmate convicted of killing an 11-month-old baby. The man was found guilty in 2001 of fatally strangling his infant stepdaughter and is currently serving a 55-year sentence. The ACLU sued on his behalf, arguing that denying the surgery violates constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishment. Indiana's Attorney General has vowed to appeal, saying people in this state do not want this. So elective surgeries for convicted murderers becomes a higher priority than justice for innocent victims. Got it. Speaking of misplaced priorities, the state of Washington now requires physicians to complete health equity training to maintain their medical licenses. The new law mandates classes on topics like implicit bias and cultural humility. Weaponizing medical licensing to push a political agenda, well, that's a dangerous precedent. Moving to Switzerland, a disturbing case where several people have been arrested after assisting in the suicide of a 64-year-old American woman using what they called a suicide pod. This portable chamber uses nitrogen gas to induce death in just 10 minutes. It's a death chamber. It's not a suicide pod. It's a death chamber. And I know advocates of euthanasia claim that it offers a dignified death. But number one, it was not legal for use in Switzerland. And look, I get it. I can understand how some people believe this is compassion for the terminally ill. But if you continue to put more thought into what this actually is, it's not compassion. It devalues human life. Moving to Canada now, the Canada Post has suspended two mail carriers in New Brunswick for refusing to deliver postcards from the pro-life group Campaign Life Coalition. The postcard stated that, quote, no child is born in the wrong body and God doesn't make mistakes. And apparently now some postal workers believe that's a little bit too controversial and they refuse to deliver the mail. To their credit, Canada Post affirmed its legal obligation to deliver all mail regardless of viewpoint. Good for them. A couple in Michigan has filed a lawsuit after discovering their daughter's middle school had been secretly socially transitioning her for months without their knowledge. The couple only learned the school was using a male name and pronouns for their daughter when a staff member accidentally shared an uncensored document. And I'm afraid this is not an isolated incident. This is a dangerous trend where schools are actively hiding information from parents about their own children. Parents have a fundamental right not only to know, but to direct the upbringing of their children. And that's a right the government seems to eagerly usurp these days. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did I miss anything there, Jimmy? This is Wretched Radio. Celebrity Christians, mega conferences, Is it time to pull the plug on all of it? I say, I don't think that's necessary. I think that two things could, maybe should happen. Number one is that you and I, we adjust how we think of these people. We should see a great preacher and not be like, ooh, I'd really like to see, ooh. No, I think our heart should be, hey, I have an opportunity to go see that guy. When he preaches, whoa, does it stir my soul? Does it encourage me? Does it comfort me? Does it grow me? Does it convict me? The Lord has provided a really great group of preachers. I'm gonna go get fed by my Savior. Thanks for the gift, Lord. That should be our hearts. Second, if a convention or a conference can do things, it's probably kind of tricky. I don't know exactly what it would look like to try to reinforce that very same attitude that these aren't celebrity Christians. Now, there isn't a pastor in the world that should be, quote, famous. Now, the reality is it happens. They do get famous. It just happens. But that shouldn't be the heart, and that shouldn't be the way that we would present a famous preacher, like, come see the really famous preacher. In other words, maybe, and I'm, believe me, I'm not thinking of any, there's hundreds of conferences that take place, so I'm not thinking of any. Maybe the feature, we could do a better job of even positioning where we put these guys in the conference collaterals. When the website is built, for instance, what is the message of the conference? If the message of the conference is, come see these famous guys, I think that that should be adjusted. I think it should be, come, stare at Jesus with unveiled face. Enjoy the evening conference, the day-long, the weekend sort of affair. We're going to study Jesus here. And these are the guys that are going to help us do it. So that would also send the message. They are not they're not in the spotlight. Jesus is in the spotlight, not men. These are men who should point us to the Savior. And as they do that, then we keep our eyes on the one who is worthy of that attention. And they are just servants in that. And so I think those are some adjustments, potentially. Maybe you don't need to make it. And maybe if you organize a conference, it's like, no, we pretty much got it right here. Then amen, rock on. But if not, something perhaps to consider so that we don't contribute to what just seems to be innate inside of us. Seeing somebody on it, I do it too. You can't help it. I don't know what it is. You see somebody on YouTube, and then you see that person, and it's like, hey, look, what is that about? Jimmy, am I the only one who has that? It just happens.
It does. It does.
What is the name of that?
I don't really know, and I understand. I get it. We do that.
It's like starstruck is a word that maybe we use.
Yeah.
But I don't think that any of our hearts are if you were sitting at a table at a restaurant someplace, and somebody at the table said to you, hey, behind you, it's John MacArthur. What would you do? Oh, no, you turn and look. If somebody, let's try this. Right behind you, I'm trying, I don't want to slap anybody, and like some third-rate celebrity that is on the cooking show. They were a judge. No, they were one of the chefs on the cooking show. Okay, there you go. That's perfect. When they do those cooking competitions or beat Bobby Flay, whatever it is. And if somebody said, hey, that guy was one of the chefs that competed against Bobby Flay, would you be tempted to go, what is that? It's a propensity inside of us, which means that if we're not aware of it, we're probably going to do that with the Steve Lawsons, the R.C. Sproul's, the John MacArthur's, the Phil Johnson's. So we need to guard our hearts. And then the people who present them at these conferences, which I believe are a blessing. I do believe they are a blessing, can perhaps help us to not fall into that trap of idolizing an evangelical preacher just because they have some sort of notoriety. Jimmy, let me know if I missed anything in that, because I think a lot of people are talking. I have heard some people say it's time to be done with these conferences.
And I get that.
I do, too.
I understand the sentiment. I also see the other side. I understand the pain this causes people.
Yeah.
I think an important thing to remember, and this is what I've had to do, the introspection that I've done, is I don't think the pain would be as deep when things like this happen, if we remember that our favorite pastor should be our local pastor.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, not putting him up on a pedestal.
No. But we would look at these guys, I think, a little bit differently.
Yep. So, question, who's your favorite preacher? Let's go back to the questions that were sent to idea@wretched.org. This is from Stephen. If Pastor Lawson had all the knowledge of theology, knowledge of godly men of the past, that intimate, deep knowledge of the gospel, literally heard the gospel every day from his own mouth, had all those tools to live a godly life, how could he fall? I think that question is important. Now, I don't know why Steve fell. I can't do that, but I can see what the Bible tells me. We don't take heed. There's a disconnect somewhere. And I believe probably one of the main reasons for most of these sorts of falls is the deceitfulness of sin. It lies, it tricks, it whispers, and we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. We don't want to start focusing on Satan, but we do want to be aware that roaring lion, he is prowling about seeking to devour people. And none of us is immune to those wiles. He's wilier, he's stronger, and he has been a liar from the beginning, which means he's better at it than even most politicians these days. Then this question, how am I a much simpler layperson with a simpler layperson's knowledge of the gospel of grace ever going to have victory over temptation in my life? Well, here's where I think we could maybe do an adjustment in our mind and hearts. Why would we think that a Steve Lawson has some sort of insight into sanctification that the rest of us don't? You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got all the tools, the Word, the local church. You get to take communion. You get to watch baptisms, prayer, fellowship. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. We've got all the means of growth available to us. And I get it. I get it. Because a pastor, /elder, should be the sanctified leader in the church. I get that. But maybe this is helpful. Was reading, because I'm preparing it for a sermon on Sunday, was reading about the disciples. Matthew chapter 16. There's a lot of bread talk in Matthew. And Jesus provided bread for 5,000 men plus women and children. Then he provides bread for 4,000 men plus women and children. And then immediately, Jesus says to the disciples after they met up with him, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were like, oh, we didn't bring bread. And oh, how, what kind of bread are we? And they were just, well, Jesus says they were lacking understanding. Then we see other scenes of the disciples. We see Peter, bold, full of faith in the beginning, and then glug, 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 down he goes, and you go, Peter. Or when Peter says, no, Lord, this is then later in chapter 6, no, Lord, you're not going to be able to, we don't want you to go to the cross. And what does Jesus have to say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Wow, then we see Peter, who seems to lead the way, but all of them scattered. They hightailed it, even naked. Just get away from this because, yikes, I don't want to go down too. Here's a question for you. That was Peter. Does that keep you from reading 1 Peter 1 and 2? Does that keep you from reading the first, well, third-ish of the book of Acts because Peter is featured there? Do you believe in Jesus less because of the occasional knuckleheadery and even sinfulness of the disciples? We don't, do we? We don't. And I think that's maybe how we should consider the Steve Lawson situation. Don't let him stumble you. Don't let him trip you. You keep doing what you're doing. You keep growing. You keep feeding yourself. You keep being a serving member of your local church. And this is a helpful thing. Rather than having it cause you to go, well, if he couldn't, I'm not going to be able to. That's the wrong response. Don't go down that road. Instead, he didn't do it. That scares me, Lord. I need to rely on you more. And it should cause us to pray harder, examine more thoroughly and deeply, and to participate completely in the life of the local church. So I'm not saying don't have a reaction, but don't let your reaction be, well, I don't have a chance either. Because you do. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever pondered how many lives could be transformed if your car radio became a vehicle for worldwide gospel proclamation? Well, that's exactly what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. And your monthly gift does not just keep the lights on around here, though we do appreciate not having to work in the dark. It ignites truth across the globe. Whether it's Transformed, which tackles real life struggles, or it's Road Trip to Truth, which equips the next generation, your support fuels a gospel revolution. And here's the kicker. We're not wasting your money on private jets or gold-plated microphones. As members of the ECFA, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry. So what do you say? Are you ready to partner with us in reaching the lost and strengthening the local church? Become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So toxic. This is Wretched. How'd you know I was talking about you?
You just
had a feeling?
Yeah.
You're yelling at me. Quit screaming at me at the top of your lungs. What did you say to that was kind of an evil chortle. It sounded a little devious. What did you say during the break, Jimmy?
I said, I don't know how you're gonna do it, but I need you to do something for me.
Oh, you of little faith. Mm-hmm. Here would be an example. Are there any good ministries you can trust? The answer is, of course there are. There's many good ministries that you can trust. Don't let the latest debacle cause you to lose trust in everyone and everything. For instance, Masters Academy International. It is stellar from top to bottom. And it's a ministry with so much accountability. And and here's the, maybe if you're still like a little gun shy, because it's like, whew, it's the residue from the Steve fall is maybe just got you a little bit tainted. At the Masters Academy International, it's a ministry. It's a group of men. It's a lot of guys training indigenous men to preach the word. In other words, there are many seminaries around the globe, 19 last I heard, maybe it's 20 by now, different countries where master's seminary graduates from that country, they studied in Los Angeles, they go back to their country, and what do? They train indigenous men how to preach the Bible. It's brilliant. It's deep. It is thoughtful. It is a legacy ministry, and I would encourage you to check them out and consider supporting them. Because I do think that there's good ministries that still exist. And I think the Masters Academy International is one of them. Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
I stand corrected.
Right back at you, buddy boy. Let's get to some emails sent from you in an effort to try to consider some of the angles, some of the questions that we have in response to the tragic story of Steve Lawson. This is from Amanda. My husband and I want to take this opportunity to take spiritual inventory of our own walk with the Lord. Good on ya. That would be a positive fruit. We should all do that. This is all brought us up kind of short, hasn't it? Whoa, how am I doing here? So this is a great response. I was wondering if you knew of any helpful tools to help me evaluate myself honestly and comprehensively. I'm not aware of some sort of like, hey, this is so that you can see if you've got sin harboring in your heart. I would say that we've got tools. You can put them in whatever order you want to, but I would say that you got to start with the Bible. Do this, maybe not for the rest of your life, but for a season. Pick some books, some New Testament books, probably epistles might be great. And as you read through them, see whatever the command is or see whatever the heart issue is and stop and just ponder it. Lord, how am I doing in this area? You're reading through the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is on and on and on about the heart. Lord, help me with my heart. Help me to understand what's going on in there, because I don't want bad stuff in there. And take the time, think, and then you can, then as you continue to read through Matthew, here's something you could do. You could read through the Sermon on the Mount. Am I looking with lust at all? Am I doing things today that I didn't do 10 years ago? Am I more willing to digest stuff that I used to esteem to be trash or blasphemy and then cinch it up and then fight for it? It's funny. Not that long ago, I don't know if I mentioned it this earlier this week, but I'd recently heard somebody say that as you get older, you need to redouble your efforts of sanctification. Because I think what can happen is you go, all right, okay, I've made it through those phases for the most part. Doing okay. No, you're not. You walk in danger all the way, even to the grave. So you need to look at these different areas, and you can use your Bible to determine how you are doing when it comes to your affections, when it comes to your desires. Use the Bible. And then second of all, I would say the context of the local church and the one another's, and that would include husband and wife can do it with each other. You can ask each other, here's an exercise that you could do at church. This is why being engaged in church life is so crucial for you. If you're scared because Steve Lawson fell and you're not a like really participating in the life of your church, then you have a vulnerability, because at your local church, fellow members can say, hey, thanks for asking. I can tell you how I think you're doing. And we could ask one another, how do you think that I'm doing in my walk? Do you see anything about me that maybe needs some adjusting? And you might be surprised. You just might be, well, you know what? I did notice when we were talking about this thing, you commented about women in a way that it just kind of surprised me a little bit that you would make an observation like that. Just what I've noticed, and that will help you. You know, I've been watching you with your wife. I don't know if you realize this, but when you first started coming to this church, I never even saw the two of you stand together. Now when you do, you always hold hands. Did you notice that? And they can encourage and they can see the good fruit and they might see some bad fruit. And we will not be able to do that for one another if we aren't in family, in the outpost of heaven known as the local church. Please, please be a serving member of a local church. Sunday morning ain't enough. Participate, go, especially if you're young. Young men especially, maybe young women too. I can't speak to that gender as much, but we see these stories and these articles of young men who are just looking for, they're confused about what it looks like to be a Christian man. Be in your local church. I got to tell you, there's some guys, we're a new fellowship, relatively small. I'm seeing some of these young men who are stepping up. They're volunteering. And you know, well, I'll just brag on them. There's two young men. They do our PowerPoint with all of the announcements and the Bible verses and confessional statements so we can read it on the big screen or in your bulletin. Been there every week, those two guys, every single week. Man, I'm telling you, my honor and respect for those two young men. There's another young man. His parents couldn't be in church that morning, but he could. He was. He was even in the front row. That's a young man. That's a smart young man. That's one who's going to be wise. Get involved in your local church. I know maybe it's like, well, but I don't feel like it. Do it. Well, I don't know that it's really going to grow me. It will. Well, you know, I tried that once and it didn't really work. What do you think? The church is a pill? You're going to take it and your headache goes away? You're going to go to church once and suddenly you're going to be wise and godly and mature and understand reality? You got to go, man, go. The local church, find the best one you can and join it and be a part of the life of it. It will help you to grow in sanctification. You mentioned a ton about the heart. How can I know for sure that my heart is right as I go about the business of applying the principles you laid out for accountability? I want to ensure that I'm not just doing this from a legalistic mindset, but from a heart that loves and fears God. What I would encourage with this, beyond what we've just been talking about, be talking to the Lord a lot. Lord, search my heart. Reveal any unconfessed sin. Just help me to know, Lord, and I'm just going to keep trying to be faithful to you, growing my love for you. Help me, Lord, and then just left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And be careful that you don't do too much navel gazing. Just keep stepping. Just keep doing it. And you will suddenly look back and go, wow, look at what the Lord has done for me. Question from Randy. Do you think it's always a slow fade when a Christian falls into sin? Or do you think it can ever be a moment of weakness, letting down your guard? Most likely, the only reason a guard can come down is if the guard is down already, and you've simply been given the opportunity that has provoked what's going on in there. So do I think it's always a slow fade? I wouldn't bang my fist on the pulpit and say, yes, absolutely, but I think so. It means that there's an area that you're compromising in already. And that whatever that temptation happens to be, it squeezes. What comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it? Juice. Why? Not because you squeezed it. That's the mechanism. What comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it is juice, because that's what's in the lemon. And so if you get squeezed by a temptation, it's because, and you respond to it, it's because it's in there. So guard your hearts. Finally, this from Michael. Maybe you can do a program about the pursuing of obedience more than Bible knowledge. Well, we're going to be doing programs on that because we got to be pursuing both as we walk and do the Christian life together. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.